opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Yeah, that Ohio State is pretty good at sport. You know what? I think they're going to get better. A lot to get to. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Zhongi Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when everybody's usually in a bad mood. But you should be in a good mood today because most of you had yesterday off, judging from what we were hearing from everybody who called and texted yesterday. And you probably got a chance to watch a pretty damn good football team last night.
Like, really good. And a lot of people were saying, what would have happened if Brewer would have stayed healthy? And Brewer is a kid that, you know, out of Lake Travis in Austin, which is, produces a lot of big-time, at least big-time recruits.
Usually produces some pretty good college quarterbacks.
You know, he looked like he was starting to get something together, and that game was close for a little while. You know, it was competitive, 14-10 at one point.
Well, they took the lead at the half with a nice rally.
At the end of the day, I don't know that he would have been the difference in.
The only thing I think he would have been the difference in, he might have helped him cover the spread. That would have been it.
That's possible.
The thing is, in the fourth quarter, Ohio State wore them down, and that's what better teams do. And it was pretty obvious they were going to win the football game. And just, I think it's scary how good they looked and how much better I think they can get.
Yeah.
So, should be fun. I actually went and I did something kind of cool that we'll do in the next hour. Well, I think it's cool. You'll probably hate it, which will make it even more cool. I decided to do rankings based on the way the committee would do them.
Okay.
So, I did 1 through 25 based solely on what teams did this week.
We should do a Blitz 25.
Yeah, I think we should.
We should just.
Well, Why don't you?
We should make our own top 25s and then add them and get a consensus.
And I think that's a perfect idea. So you guys have an hour to come up with yours.
Okay.
But here's my criteria.
John, did you watch any college football this weekend?
Yeah, I got some in, but I didn't. Not too much because I had a wedding to attend to.
Yeah, Junk doesn't watch as much football as us. He doesn't have
to. Okay, so his vote only counts for one this week, and ours will count for two.
Okay.
How's that? Well, here's the criteria I used. Exactly what the committee would do. What did you do this week? I'm not taking preseason rankings, not taking anything other than who was the most impressive, who had the biggest wins, and who looked the best.
Okay.
So the way it works, like LSU fan, you're going to be mad, but you're not in there. You played 4 minutes. There's nothing to judge on.
Sorry.
So I'm doing mine where I'm just judging it based on what you did each week and then how your body of work grows.
Solely on what you've seen.
Right, which is what the committee does, right? In theory.
Yeah, although, I mean, they also have a starting point that, you know, is before any games were seen, they had to have some kind of a thought on what they think these teams are.
Right. And for the most part, we kind of know. Obviously, we knew Ohio State was bringing back a buttload of players from a national championship team and was going to be very good. And Alabama is always very good. But we also got a chance to see those teams in what I thought were difficult situations for a first week.
Yeah.
So, you know, just a tease, but I have like Temple 25th.
Okay.
They go in, they beat Penn State. They sack Christian Hackenberg 10 times.
Where do you have Notre Dame?
I have Notre Dame. Well, I don't want to give away the whole list.
Well, I'm just curious. Like, okay. I'm just giving that one as like a.
See,
a,
and.
Because
and,
they looked really impressive.
Right.
Right.
And this is why it's going to change a lot over the course of the season. Because I don't know if Texas is just that awful or Notre Dame's that good.
Okay.
But based on.
You know what?
That,
don't give me Notre Dame. Give me A&M.
I have Texas A&M number 4.
Okay. Okay, now I see what you're doing.
I see.
Okay.
Because that win, I think other than Alabama's win, probably the most impressive of the first week terms of who you played. Now if Arizona looks like garbage the next two games, I drop them.
Right. Of course A&M's not going to play in Arizona State. every week.
No, so
they'll just naturally go down the list.
And if they struggle against a donkey, they'll move down. If they beat a donkey 60-0 like they're supposed to, then maybe they won't move. But at no point during this season am I going to look at it and say, oh, well, I can't move them down because they won.
Okay.
Does that seem fair?
Yeah, your top 25 is a little more difficult than how mine works. But
well, that's okay. Rod says we need a negative top 25 also. I thought about doing the worst five, but most of the time that's going to be teams that nobody cares about.
We'll know later.
But no, I tried to do it. I'm going to try to do it that way because some teams that I'll just tell you right now, there's three teams that didn't make the list that are top 25 teams.
Okay.
And LSU, because they didn't play enough for us to see anything.
Right.
I don't have Boise in my top 25 because they struggled against Washington at home. And I don't have Missouri in the top 25 because I don't think they were that impressive.
Okay.
Against a bad team.
Well, to be fair, I mean, Boise State did play a Power 5 conference team.
They did.
Which is what I always ask these mid-level conference teams to do.
At home, though, on that ridiculous blue turf. And they did not come close to covering the spread in that game. So I factor that in a little bit, too. How much were you expected to win by? Vegas knows more than anybody else. So that doesn't mean that they won't be there next week.
Does Northwestern make your top 25?
Northwestern did not make my top 25 because I don't think much of Stanford and never did.
Okay.
See, that one, and again, that's why it's subjective.
Okay.
But no, Northwestern did not make it. They just missed. But, and some of it was eye test, too. That was such a horrible game to watch.
Yeah.
And they did not impress me. You know, on the flip side, one team that did get in there, even though they weren't playing much, that looked great, was Florida.
Okay.
So, again, I'll give you points for beating a good team, but only if I really think they're good. And I didn't have Stanford. I wouldn't have Stanford in my top 25 this year.
Okay. I wouldn't have either.
So, nice win. But now what may turn out happening is Stanford may turn out to be the best team in the Pac-12, and Arizona State may be absolute garbage. But by week 8 or 9, that'll sort itself out.
Okay.
And that's why you don't have to be married to any of this stuff. That's a great thing about it.
Maybe I'll make a separate top 25 list that's a little more traditional.
Okay.
I mean, based on what I saw out of them, I mean, that matters a lot. But
yeah,
based on what I really think they are going into the season, too. So.
Well, and some of that is, obviously, that's part of it. Because I think these teams might be going into
I'm
going
to take my base expectation, my base top 25 preseason, and adjust it based on what I saw so far.
Okay. So that way we'll have different approaches to it.
Okay.
But I'm just want to do it the way that I think the committee's going to do it later when it comes down to it.
I think later on in the season, the way you're talking about is more sensible. I mean, after just one game, though, it's hard,
right, because who knows? Some of these teams are going to be much better than we thought. You know, some of these Pac-12 teams that lost, we've already said, people are already writing off the Pac-12. Well, they did that to the Big Ten last year, too.
Right.
So, and next week we'll know a lot more when Oregon plays Michigan State, for instance.
I also have my preseason top 25, which will make it easy for me to adjust because somebody had asked for it and ran some sports blog or something. So
as weird as this sounds, though, there's not really anything that you're going to hear and say, oh, well, that's ridiculous.
No.
And like I said, putting Temple and Florida in there, you might, but I thought they were impressive enough to go to the very bottom. And, you know, those teams will be gone if LSU comes back and plays or Boise beats BYU. Which, yeah, that to me will be a great test for them. They beat BYU, I'll move them right up.
Yeah.
But I thought what BYU did going in and beating Nebraska was more impressive at Nebraska. So that's why BYU's in there. Anyway, we'll see. I may be a complete idiot, but I tried to do it, and I just want to do one different.
That's different for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to do the typical.
You're always trying to be the smartest man in the room.
I'm not trying to be the smartest man in the room. I'm just trying to. I think we can all do traditional polls with our eyes closed.
Right.
And we do power rankings with our eyes closed. So I wanted to do a different approach. We'll do that at 5 o'clock.
Fair enough.
And I don't think
I should be able to have mine by 5.
I don't think you're going to disagree with too much of it.
Okay.
And I maybe A&M too high, but again, based on 1 week. Now, last week they would have been last year they've been really high after the South Carolina game, too.
Right.
Didn't work out for them. So just because you're there now doesn't mean you're going to be there in a couple weeks. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Also want to mention it's a local music Tuesday, which means every bumper song that we play, with the exception of the stuff that's kind of plugged in, will be local. And DJ Jong will tell you who each band is and what the songs are. And if you like them, please check them out. We're just trying to help out all the there's some great local bands out there. And just thought that'd be a cool thing to do on Tuesdays. So if you like what you hear and Jong forgets to mention it, just tweet him and say, hey, what band was that and what was the song?
Cool.
And we'll have a bunch of good stuff. We got some new stuff this week. And
I like that better because last week I feel like it took a long time to like announce the name of each band and song.
Yeah.
Like if somebody wants to know, just tweet Jong. He'll tell you.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it. And if you hear your song on there, congratulations. You're not going to hear the whole song, obviously. We're just doing it as bumper music. We're not a rock station. Although one day I'd like to own a rock station and have a show where you could actually play the songs. But
I actually tried to get a job at a rock station, but I didn't get it when I was back in Austin. And
really?
Yeah. Like I've probably been doing it for like 3 or 4 years, been doing sports radio, and one of the classic rock station there had a job opening on their morning show, and I tried to get it and I didn't get picked, and the guy they did pick was gone after like 6 months.
See, I think you'd have been really good at that. That's what I want to be my last job in radio. I want to be that old guy who does the night show at a rock station and smokes weed the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one,
this was like, first of all, it was a morning show, which I wasn't crazy about.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
And secondly, I think that everybody that they tried out besides me was a comedian. And, you know, I'm not a stand-up comedian, but or not an active stand-up comedian, but the guy they hired was a stand-up comedian. Hmm. And that's what they were looking for. But whatever, their loss, man. Their loss.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it worked out that way. I'm glad it worked out that way. Jong, how did the first day with the new lineup go?
It went pretty smoothly.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't get to hear too much of it because I was running around back and forth, but it was a nice local lineup. And Levitard debuted today on ESPN, too.
Hey, does Barry Warner have Twitter?
I think so. I think it's like the Bear 3-4 or something. I don't know.
We need to make those guys' Twitter handles known so all compliments, praise, and the few complaints that come through can go directly to those guys, right?
I'm guessing you got a bunch of them today.
Of course. I mean, a lot of people were really excited, and I wanted those guys to be able to, you know that their work was appreciated. It'd be nice if they were able to tweet directly at those guys. I think that would be a good thing. So, in fact, I know a couple of these guys' Twitter handles.
Well, yeah, Dylan Gwynn's is out there. He's been tweeting forever.
Oh, Barry's is Bear Warner, like the animal bear, and his last name Warner.
Bear at Bear Warner.
Okay,
if you want to tweet at Barry Warner about their show, and
you know what, we've got everybody else's up here on the board. We should get theirs up there on the board so we can just tell people.
By the way, Barry has tweeted, it looks like, a total of 4 times. In the last 2 months, so he may not be that active. But he did tweet back at some people today. So he will interact with you if you tweet him at Bear Warner. At the Mighty Gwynn is G-W-I-N-N if you want to talk to Dylan Gwynn. At Raheel, or is it Raheel is...
I think it's the underscore Raheel.
Yeah, the underscore Raheel. Two E's.
The underscore Raheel. John Granado's is pretty simple. It's just at John Granado. And who else started today? That's it, right?
That's it, right? That's the whole team.
Okay, yeah, that's the whole squad of new guys.
Because we already knew Salisbury.
Yeah, Sean Unfiltered is Salisbury. So.
Yeah, so you guys know that one already. But that way, if you want to tweet them and tell them you like what you heard or whatever you want to tweet him.
Salisbury has the most Twitter followers of everybody who works at the station.
And he has a blue check.
He has a blue check.
Him and Steve Bunin are the only ones with blue checks.
Hmm. Well, Jong, I don't know why you don't have a blue check yet, but...
Actually, that's something that the company needs to make happen. That's how they had to do it at the Chronicle. The Chronicle had to contact Twitter, and that's how all their guys got blue checks.
Interesting.
Not saying, you know.
Not all our guys deserve blue checks, Fred. Well, let's start with Jong and we'll move from
there. How many followers does Granado have? Because does he even tweet?
Yeah.
Okay.
He tweets nonsense at me sometimes. Oh, but by the way, speaking of our station, Jon Granado has 7,277 followers.
Okay.
He's fairly active. He's got 2,700 tweets. Who does the updates during the morning shows?
That would be Tony Desiri, who is not in the building.
Where does he work? Where does he live?
I don't know.
Okay, let's talk to Tony Desiri.
I've heard this. I've heard it. He mispronounced Carlos Correa.
Carlos Carrera, you mean?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If they can get
Tony Desiri, come on, get with the program.
If he can get that Carrera guy hitting like Correa, man, the Astros would be gold. All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center and
Carlos Carrera.
I didn't hear that, mercifully. I didn't listen today. I was doing some work, so I apologize. I wanted to listen to the first day, but I will be listening all week, off and on. So,
Carrera.
Anyway.
Get out of here with that nonsense. Go ahead and do your read. I'll work my top 25.
You know what? David Dilotti would never call him Carrera.
Never.
He might call him Carlos.
Maybe.
Or Carlos. Anyway, guys, got to tell you about Quick Weight Loss Center. And you've heard me talk about them for a while. More than a year ago, I went in, needed to lose some weight, wanted to get back in shape, wanted to get active again. And I got 50 pounds off on Quick Weight Loss, and I've kept it off ever since. And now I'm doing runs all the time. I'm going out tonight, as a matter of fact, after the show. I got first 10K of the fall coming up this weekend. All stuff. There's no way I could have done that before Quick Weight Loss Center. And if you're in that boat where I was, where you love to eat and you love to drink beer and you love to just get big and not worry about it, and you can't go out and work out because you hurt your back, you hurt your knees just because you're too heavy. Well, the great thing about Quick Weight Loss, you don't need to exercise. You don't need prepackaged meals. They're going to help you get the weight off so that you can do the things you want to do. Talk about energy. It has changed my life. I am so much more energetic and having so much more fun and taking better care of myself, and it's all thanks to Quick Weight Loss. Can happen for you as well. Results are guaranteed. No exercise required. No prepackaged meals. And however much you need to lose, whether it's 20, 40, 100 pounds, they're going to help you do it. Right now, new special. You can lose up to 30 pounds plus get a 30-day program for just $30. And kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. They've got 15 great Houston locations for your free, no-obligation consultation. Visit quickweightlosscenter.com or call 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. I'm guessing Soccer Matters is tonight because I just saw Glenn Davis tweet that out. So lots of good local stuff on the station now. Almost all day, with the exception of 2 to 4. And then HD Show on Mondays. We got Hustle Town on Wednesdays. We got Soccer Matters in there.
A lot of local stuff.
Yeah. I like that. I'd like one day for us to have a local show before us without us having to work extra. I want to point it out.
Right.
I don't want to do an extra hour. I think sometimes there's too much of a good thing. Did you see that Bill O'Brien had one of the best days of his life this week?
I did not see that.
As a matter of fact, he said it rivaled the birth of his children and his wedding.
Okay.
Care to guess what it was?
What was it? Telling Keyshawn Martin he'd made the team?
No.
Oh.
And it wasn't telling Mr. James he didn't make the team.
Okay. What was it?
You got the audio here, John?
What's it like first day without Hard Knocks cameras in the building?
Probably in my 45 years, probably one of the best days of my life. Next to the birth of my children and my wedding, I guess. No offense to Hard Knocks, though.
Come on, you know you loved it.
Yeah.
So he's bummed they left, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Follow-up question from McLean there. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You know you loved it.
John loved it. John loves those cameras around.
Oh, man. Well, I honestly think O'Brien played up to him quite a bit. I'm looking forward to the last one tonight to see, you know, how that finishes. But I'll give him credit. Other than that second episode, I think it's been very, very good. Lamont asks, who is this on with AJ? Because Fred is somewhere playing poker.
That's true.
Yeah, I was supposed to be, but I backed off because we have other projects going on here. And this is the first week of NFL. I didn't really want to miss the Tuesday show, especially with the new lineup and everything else. And We're trying to get this audiobook finished so that we can get that out to the people so you can start winning money. And so, yeah, I had a lot of work to do on that. And hopefully that will pay off and I'll be done with my end of it tomorrow. And then I know you made some progress, so we're getting close to having it, guys. But, you know, it's almost like a real job when you're doing stuff like this.
It really is.
You know, 'cause I'm having to work with Michael Carroll over there to get everything right and work with some other people in the building. But I do think you guys are going to like this when it's done. And I'm very excited about it. And I can see the end of the tunnel from here. And hopefully it'll be a cool thing. But, yeah, I'm guessing that when you're used to doing things a certain way and doing your program a certain way, having cameras around all the time is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So I bet he is relieved. I don't think it's quite that. I think he's being just a little bit facetious. But I'm still pretty sure he's happy that they were gone. Did you see this? I thought this was one of the coolest things. Did you see this article that Tom Herman wrote for this SI site? I don't think I've ever seen anybody do this as a coach, to go into this much detail into what it is he does and how his first year went. And he talked about, shouting matches he's had with players, talked about things that he's fixed around there, talked about spring practice and how it wasn't quite what he didn't know what to do because it was his first time as a head coach and he wanted to work with the if you haven't seen this thing.
I have not.
It's worth reading. It is worth your time. I tweeted out a link earlier, and it'll take you about 10 minutes to read it. But I've never seen a coach actually do that, where he very specifically talked about everything that he had been doing. And you know, there's some interesting stuff in there that some people tweeted back where he talks about, in the 100 years of football, nobody's ever won by being a finesse team. And then he gets into it. He apparently spoke at the commencement services and talked about something that we always get on, like the soccer moms and everybody getting a trophy.
Yeah.
And talking about winning. He says winners get the good-looking girls and the good jobs. Losers wind up in cubicles. And I guess he got some grief for that. I love it. I love the insight to it. And I think it's one of those things that if you get a chance to read it, it's on campusrush.com.
All right.
And I'll tweet out the link again. And there's way too much to get into here. But it's very rare that you see a football coach give that kind of insight into what he's doing. And, I like the guy. I hope he works out great. I think he will. And then he'll be gone in a couple of years to a bigger school. But that's okay. But I think he gets it, man. When you start looking at social media and all the things he talks about, he's on top of things. And I know he's a younger guy, which is probably why. But if you get a chance, check it out. I'll tweet it out again in a minute. Let's grab a quick phone call. Tim, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, AJ, I wanted to get your opinion on how you think the Longhorns look as far as coaching-wise. Do you think that they look better than they did last year in Charlie Strong's first season, or do you think that they have a lot more work to do this year?
I think things, at least through one game, look significantly worse than they did a year ago. I can't imagine that, anyone watched that game and was like, yeah, this looks like it's headed in the right direction. I think what it's done is it's brought about, it's been a while since Texas had one of these. It's brought about the first must-win game in the Charlie Strong era. Rice is a must-win game. A must-win. If you start the season 0-2, a blowout loss to Notre Dame, who's another big-name brand national school, and when Texas is on the field with them, they make Texas look like not a big-name brand national school. And if you follow that up with a loss to Rice at home, I don't know if – I mean, I don't know what his contract payout is right now, but somebody's going to be in there punching a calculator. Because it's unacceptable.
And we hit on this a lot yesterday, and I know a lot of you guys didn't get to listen, so we'll continue to talk about it. Because I don't know if Notre Dame's really that good, which my first thought going in the season was I thought they were a little bit overrated, but they were dominant, and they were clearly the better team. Or Texas is that bad. And that's one thing we'll find out. I think we'll find out this week. And I have to admit, I already punched a button on Rice plus 16.5.
Trust me, I was tempted. I've been tempted. I haven't done it because I just I don't know what's going to happen, and I think I'm waiting to see what Notre Dame really was, and I could see Texas at home just turning things around, and I know
I think Texas is going to win the game, and I think they'll come out and run the ball, but I Rice can score.
What, yeah.
And that scares me a little bit because if they get the lead, I'm not sure Texas can come back.
Well, their offense is atrocious. And Sean Watson, you talk about – it's so funny that Texas fan was always, oh, we should fire Greg Davis, get Greg Davis out of here, he sucks. But if you go and look at Greg Davis, the actual numbers that those offenses put up, you never would have wanted to get rid of Greg Davis. You should have been careful what you wished for, because now you've got Sean Watson, who appears to have no idea what he's doing. And you're talking about a team that scored 10 points against TCU in the last game of last season. And, you know,
they've been destroyed their last three games.
Yeah. And they made Arkansas look like the kings of the world in that bowl game. So, and Texas had 59 total yards and 2 rushing yards in that game. And you know what? And I will give them credit for, or give strong credit for this, because when he was asked on yesterday at the press conference, and I talked to my man Craig Way about what was going on at that press conference. I need to start getting the notes sent from me. Like, their new SID doesn't like to send me the notes like the old guy did.
Yeah, I don't get the notes from the Texans anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
They're mad at me. I have to go to their website to do it.
But essentially, Charlie Strong said that, you know, they're gonna have to evaluate. They asked him about Sean Watson and the offense, and Charlie said, we're going to have to evaluate where we are when it comes to the offense. And he said, I don't know why Jonathan Gray didn't get the ball more.
I'm sorry, but you're the head coach. That's something that you need to go. And you've worked with this guy now. He was with you at Louisville. This isn't some new guy off the street.
This isn't some guy you just met. But Charlie said that the game plan should include getting Gray the ball 20 to 25 times a game. And
but you can't look at that during the course of the game and say, hey, we need to run the ball more. Isn't that what a head coach is supposed to do, is oversee everything?
Rush the ball 8 times for 40 yards, which, let me do some math, that's 5 yards a carry. If he ran the ball 20 to 25 times per game, that would be 100 to 125 rushing yards. And then suddenly you're like, oh, maybe their offense isn't total garbage. But as it stands now, it's total garbage.
We'll talk more about that and whatever.
He says he's going to be a lot more involved in the offense going forward, though. Charlie Strong did.
We'll talk about that when we come back, because that's a bad sign. Not that he should be more involved, but we'll talk about it when we come back. Right now, I got to tell you about FanDuel. This is it. It's finally opening week of the NFL regular season. Your last chance to join FanDuel before opening weekend. And there are all kinds of games coming up. And guess what we're doing? We are doing our own FanDuel League, and it's filling up fast. So if you want to play, it's $5 to play. It's very easy. You just go to FanDuel.com/Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. Sign up, get in there. And right now we're looking at over $200 for the winner. So it's going to be a great opportunity for you to make some money, to brag to the other blitzers about how you beat their butts, to brag how you beat my butt. And it's all right there for you on FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. Over $75 million a week this football season. This is your chance to get some of it. Building a team's easy. You just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, sit back on Sunday and watch your team win. And if you don't want to play for $5 with our league, you can play for as low as a dollar. And anyone can play. And if you're serious and you want to spend several hundred dollars, you can do that too. And for our league, it's not going to be the Thursday games. So you've got until Sunday to sign up. And if you're signed up, you've got until then to change your lineup. So if you see some guys who are hurt or something, you want to make a switch, you can do that. That's a great thing about FanDuel. After this week, if you don't like your team, you start completely from scratch. You can look at matchups. You can use whatever strategy you want. And here's your chance to win real money, and people are doing it. If you're new to FanDuel, if you want to play in this league and you haven't signed up yet, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code Fowler, and sign up now. New users, every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. This offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code Fowler today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. And if you're already signed up and want to play in the league, FanDuel.com/F-A-O-U-R. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today.
How ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
And lock them in. Beer pack on the blitz. Yeah, lock them in. Of course, most of the guys over there are over here now.
That's true.
But
we still locking them in over there?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Who are we locking in exactly?
Bunin.
I'm done with Bunin. Right?
Yeah.
He's officially
he's
like
an enemy now.
Yeah, he's like that guy goes up against me.
Dan Patrick. You locking Dan Patrick?
I'm not locked in on him, but Bunin's like directly trying to he's trying to take money from me. I don't feel like we're teammates anymore.
You can lock in Steve Zabin, Dan Patrick. I know you're not too fond of Jeff Ketchum, but
no, you can lock him up.
What about that other guy that was kind of mean to us when we were at the Super Bowl that's there during the day?
Oh, I don't know. Who was mean to us?
He was just, I wouldn't say mean. He was just kind of superior.
Oh, I don't know.
A guy that used to work for Rome.
Oh.
I can't remember.
Travis Rogers.
Travis Rogers?
Yeah.
You lock him in?
Well, I kind of want to hear Granato and Salisbury or Granato and Raheel.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of friends with those guys.
I'll say this. If there's a show on our station you don't like,
listen to 1560.
Go check out 1560.
Yeah. There'll be something over there. If you don't
otherwise, just listen to our station all day.
Yeah. All day, every day, every minute. Let's grab some phone calls. Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, a couple things. I was curious if you guys would do like a bottom 10 of the Power 5 conference. And also, were there any surprises in week one that you guys didn't like any big upset? And I'll let you guys go. Thanks.
I can probably work on that, a bottom 5 in the Power conference.
Pretty much Kansas is going to be.
Kansas is always king of that battle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll work on something
for you. All right. We'll do that. The thing is.
Vanderbilt is in the conversation.
Vanderbilt's definitely in the conversation.
They're ridiculously
bad.
Dude,
Penn State may wind up being in the conversation. That is a mess.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just that Christian Hackenberg isn't the quarterback that Franklin wants. But how do you get sacked 10 times by Temple?
I don't know.
And that's not all on the offensive line. That's partially on the offensive line and the quarterback.
Dude, but I'm at obsession level with blocking WhatsApp like Twitter robots.
Yeah.
I told you about this yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and I tweeted about it last night because I'm still seeing month-old tweets from people.
It's constant. And, man.
And it's happening to everybody. It's not just us.
I can't get rid of these things. I can't get rid of them fast enough.
How do we stop this?
I've started to report them as spam.
Okay.
I don't know if... I mean, listen, I can't fight this battle alone, Fred.
Well, I'm with you.
These bots, they outnumber us. You know, I don't know how many there are in their army. But the worst part is the chicks that they use are ugly. Like, if you're going to, like, put together some sort of site that's supposed to, or, like, some Twitter page that's supposed to get me interested enough to get on your app and contact this chick, how about don't make her look like a pig? You know, don't make it look like you used a toaster as a camera, you know?
I think if these women want to be contacted, they need to be contacting me. I'm not going to contact them.
Yeah. You should put your WhatsApp number on there.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, well, then they're not going
to
contact you,
I guess
bro.
There's no way to just block anything that's got WhatsApp on it, right?
Yeah. If somebody has their WhatsApp number in their Twitter profile, I'm blocking you. I'm reporting you as spam. That's it.
It's weird, too, because they'll retweet something, and I don't even know what context that it was tweeted out in.
Yeah.
When I see it, I'm like, what the hell? But there were a bunch of them last night. There was stuff from like 2 months ago. Like, yeah. I don't even remember what the hell we were talking about then. Come on. Let's try Brian. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports.
Hey, just had a question. I know you guys already addressed the University of Texas game. But, man, how bad is Swoops?
He's
Every
really bad.
Every time I watch this guy, just he's brutally bad. just the worst.
Yeah, I feel a little bad for him because I think that, I don't know. Well, first of all, the guy came from like a 1A school, so I don't know if, you know, he was really ready for this. They basically, he went to the camps and they saw him and they're like, oh, this guy's wild. The dude was like 1-9 his senior year in high school. I mean, the competition level for him was just such a huge jump. But I also don't really know what he is because that offensive line is so embarrassingly bad and has been for the last 2 years, which is why I kind of think Hurd may be the way to go because at least that guy can get away from someone. And they better hope that this Loxie kid that they've got, the freshman, is really as special as everybody thinks he is, because if not, they may be in for one of those things where it's they're in quarterback purgatory like the Texans, where they just can't find one.
Well, and
if you find one good one, another one wants to go there.
Right. And there's a couple things I wanted to follow up on that we didn't get to this segment. One regarding Charlie Strong and being more involved in the offense. One being quarterbacks and why sometimes it's an indication of a guy's better than you think. We'll talk about that when we come back.
All right. I got to tell you about DFC Interior Cleaning. The kids are back in school. Last thing you want to do is think about what that long summer of coming and going from sporting events, pool parties, and cookouts has done to your carpets. The good news is you don't have to worry about it any longer. Have your carpets and floors looking like new with Dirt-Free Cleaning. I've used them at my house in Austin. I use them at my house here in Houston. They do fantastic work every time, and they always leave the floors looking brand new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They don't use soap. They don't use chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers, and it's chemicals, so it's not necessarily safe for you or your kids or your pets. They've got truck-powered equipment, and it can clean any surface, and it all gives amazing results. Once the stains are gone, they don't come back like they do with the other guys. And they do carpet, tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with their unique patented technology. Owner Aubrey Theodes is passionate about his goal to formulate new ways to save you guys money while providing superior service, and that's what they look to do with Dirt Free. Call now, get a family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Fest with any purchase, and you know the perfect way to end a day at the Renaissance Fest is to come home to a clean home, and that always begins with Dirt Free. Call 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com. For 24-hour scheduling and additional specials, that's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. Tune in at 7 tonight for Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. 713-780 if you want to get in. 713-780-ESPN-3776. Somebody says that, yeah, we can be friends with Bunin. This is like we're on the Iron Throne and he's trying to take it.
Yeah.
Well, we have dragons and the Night's King. We have undead. I like our chances. You're going to have to bring a little more than that. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's try Bobby. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, sports guys. How's it going?
Going sports.
Awesome. I'm sure you guys have gotten a ton of Aggie calls, but if you have, I missed them. So really quickly, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Saturday's game. I'm an Aggies fan. I've heard a lot of people say they were really impressed. A lot of analysts on the station say they were really impressed. But personally, I'm pretty worried. I didn't think their offense looked great and thought ASU's pretty overrated. But more to the point, my question is, the quarterback situation, who you guys would prefer, Allen or Murray? And I've also heard people talking about they may just go with a two-quarterback system, and want to get your thoughts on if you think that's a feasible option going forward. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I think that – I know a lot of people were worried about the offense. I'm not really sure why. I mean, 38 points against Arizona State is pretty – it seems pretty good to me.
Well, he's going from the premise that Arizona State's overrated. I don't know that they are. Will be played out over the next few weeks.
They were overrated, but they're not bad. Yeah. You know, they're not a bad football team. I don't believe that. You know, as far as Allen and Murray go, I kind of like what I've seen out of Kyle Allen.
He hasn't blocked you on Twitter either.
Yeah, Kyler Murray blocked me on Twitter, so I can't in good conscience give him my vote. But That's just my personal preference. Is I'll take the 6'3 quarterback over the 5'4 quarterback more often than not. But Kevin Sumlin doesn't seem to have a preference. So
I think by midseason I might rather see Murray. Right now I'd rather see Allen simply because he's been out there and Murray's barely out of high school.
But it is nice seeing that guy run.
He's a very exciting player. He can move. He can throw the ball. He just needs some experience. But you're also in a position where you're trying to win now, so you can't really say, you know what, let's ride with this kid and see what happens.
Right.
So I like what they're doing. Let him get some time. Let him get some second half time against some of these donkey teams they have coming up. And, you know, by midseason, maybe you go that way. But I don't think there's any problem with Allen. I was impressed with the Aggies. I'm not going to lie. And it takes a lot to impress me. But I will also throw out the caveat that, boy, they sure looked impressive in game one last year, too. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But if I'm you, I'm encouraged because they looked a lot better. I wasn't sure what to expect out of the defense. I like John Chavis, but I also think that when you run that kind of offense, it's going to lessen the effect of your defense, but it sure didn't. So, and I want to get back to the Charlie Strong thing because we were talking about this earlier where he's going to get more involved in the offense. Well, I have a real problem with that because with him saying that, because it means you either weren't involved enough to begin with, which tells me there's a problem.
Right.
Or, well, I mean, that's really it. You weren't involved enough to begin with. Why weren't you involved when you're playing Notre Dame? I don't understand.
It's a good question.
And
seems like a good time to be engaged, right?
Exactly. I like Charlie Strong a lot, and I think he's got a chance to be successful there. But we talked about this yesterday, and I know a lot of you weren't around yesterday, but I am not seeing the progress that you need to see. I'm not seeing this team. Good coaches, when they take over a team, maybe you don't win them all, but you're competitive. You know what? Michigan was competitive with Utah.
Yeah.
Even though Utah was a better team. That's what you want to see. In your second year, you want to see the team start being competitive. They weren't competitive at all. And my goodness, if they struggle against Rice and God forbid lose that game. And I can't believe we're even talking about Texas losing to Rice.
It's pretty crazy.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to win the game. I don't know if they're going to cover 16.5. But I think they'll win that football game. But I'm concerned about other games moving forward. Because if you just look at, you know, we try to look at body of work and trends. Last three games, they have been blown out three straight games. That can't happen at Texas.
Nope.
And I got to tell you, I think that the seat's going to be getting pretty hot here if they don't blow Rice out. Lamont just tweeted this out. Giants waived former Texans nose tackle Lewis Nix. Wow.
Shocker.
That guy didn't last very long.
Yep.
Yeah. Rottweiler says, as a Charlie supporter, he agrees. I just want to see progress, man. And you know what? This also tells you when you have a really good college quarterback, which he did at Louisville.
Yeah.
Then, you know, really that's his coaching career was their good teams were with a guy who was a damn good college quarterback. When you don't have that, you start getting exposed.
Yeah.
If he had Teddy Bridgewater on this team, a different animal, but he doesn't. So, nor does he have an offensive line that could protect Teddy Bridgewater either. And somebody asked, could it be that Notre Dame was severely underrated? I don't think that's necessarily – we might have overrated them. Everybody else got people that – there are people that have them in the playoff.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that the national media underrated – but I do think in general the national media overrates Notre Dame. Notre Dame may be that good. And even if they are that good, Texas has to put on a better performance than that.
Right.
You just show me progress. And I haven't seen that. And I don't count bowl games that much, but there was no progress in that bowl game against Arkansas. They got killed by TCU before that. That's three games in a row where they haven't even been competitive. And by now, year two, you should start seeing them start to get better and be competitive. Now, maybe by the end of this season that happens, but man, I haven't seen anything that even looks like it's going to turn it around that way.
Not much hope.
No. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776.
We'll come back with our top 25s, and I've got my my bottom five as well, Fred.
Awesome. So
I can't wait to compare.
Yeah, it should be a fun 5 o'clock hour. Jerome Solomon will join us at 5:30. We'll get his thoughts on college football. I know he's kind of a college football honk as well. And we got NFL coming up. Man, this is such a great week because, You know, college football.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is my favorite stretch. I know a lot of people like the first week of the basketball tournament. A lot of people like opening day of baseball. This is my week. And
that's you know when I like football the most is when I have to wear a hoodie to the game.
That is best, yeah.
That's the best. And so, like, I say it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it, like, the fact that my air conditioner at my house in Austin is broken and it's going to cost me $900 lets me know it's still not the most wonderful time of the year, but it's getting close. Like, I think mid-October.
Yeah.
That's the best
time. Well, see, I always think right around when Texas plays OU because that's when the weather starts to turn. Yeah.
Typically, it's cool up
there. It still doesn't feel like football because, like, when I go out for a run, I sweat off about 37 pounds.
Yeah.
But the fact that this week, though, where we finally have college football, the NFL starting, every team that I like hasn't proven that it sucks yet.
Yeah.
That's always a good sign, except for Texas. That's always a good sign, but this is my favorite week of the year in sports, and I can't wait. Anyway, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. And if you're out there and it's hot and you're huffing and puffing and you look in the mirror and you say, hey, man, I really need to lose a few pounds. If I don't, this is just going to be miserable. And maybe you've been miserable all summer and you just haven't had the time. Maybe you can't get to the gym. And trust me, I've been in that situation. I tried a lot of things, tried a lot of programs, a lot of diets. And I tried to just work out, and that didn't work because I'd always get hurt because I was too big. Well, I went to Quick Weight Loss Center. They helped me get 50 pounds off. And maybe you don't need to lose that much. Maybe you need 20 pounds off. Maybe you need 100. Maybe 80. They've got programs that will work no matter what you need. And if you check them out, you're going to find out they're going to put a custom fit program for you. They're going to help you get the weight off. It's going to fit your lifestyle. You're not going to have to exercise. And if you're somebody who wanted to get the weight off so you can exercise like I did, you're going to get that weight off so you can get back in the gym. And you're not going to be hurting your back every time you go. And you're not going to be hurting your knees. And that's a great thing. They've been helping people like me for over 26 years now. And they can help you. Right now, new special, lose up to 30 pounds plus get a 30-day program for just $30. Kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. 15 great Houston locations. For your free, no-obligation consultation, doesn't cost you anything to check them out. Visit QuickWeightLossCenter.com or call 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
ESPN 97.5.